it's good to be, I think I need this. It's good to be with you this morning, and we always enjoy coming to this part of the world, the big, great US of A. So it's nice to come and have fellowship with you people, and that was an enjoy. Okay. Okay, I'll be moving around, so okay, so that's fine. I'll just like to read a portion in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and just for the sake of the subject this morning. And verse 8 says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you: you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men.' And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came and with haste found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled." King James says, "wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we thank thee again this morning for this wonderful news that was heard so long ago and still precious to hear it still today. We thank thee for thy word that we've heard already this morning, and all the things that we've been thinking about the Lord Jesus in our hearts, and we pray that we will appreciate him even more, and for any that might not know him, that he might come to be their Savior even today. What a wonderful that thing that would be. And so we give you thanks again for this time together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay, thanks. Okay, you're going to put back the picture for a minute.
The left one.
Left one? There we are. Just so you see the letters. Well, it's nice to be here. I really was thinking there might be some children. We have one little girl, that's fine, and a little girl over here, that's fine too. But what I want to really do with all of you, the older ones in particular, I want you to go back to your childhood days. You remember that? Will you remember some of it? That's good. It's a long time ago. Now, we're all from different backgrounds, different countries, different cultures, and I was born in Scotland. That's the closest place to heaven, but that's all right. So I was born in Scotland, and all right, brother from Italy. And so the cultures are different. But I still remember as a boy, we brought up in an assembly home. My parents were in the assembly there, and the assembly had their Christmas programs. And I still remember, I brought it with me, a little book, and it's called Danny the Alabaster Box. And this was presented to James Paul. I got my official name to James Paul for good attendance, Mid Street Assembly, 22nd of December, 1949. I was just a little boy. But as we think about Christmas, and certainly growing up with the cultures that we were brought up, I still remember how exciting it was when Christmas came along. One of the reasons why I found it exciting was my dad. In these days, I was born in a very humble home, wouldn't be much bigger than probably there to there. a room and kitchen, they called it, the bedroom. Me and my little sister was in the bedroom, and my parents had a big bed right in front of the living room, table, chairs, and right on this side there was a big fireplace with a mantelpiece, they called it, a ledge along the top. That was always important at Christmas time. And and there was a stove and a sink, all in this little room, by the way. It was amazing when you think back how we actually existed. But that's how it was. And my dad would start to make decorations for the Christmas. In Scotland, they had no decorations outside. Everything was inside. So they would hang these little things across the ceiling. And so we knew Christmas is coming near as kids, you know. And I still remember thinking, oh, how exciting. And when we think of Christmas as children, and certainly in the world we live in, there is a secular side of Christmas. The world, you know, in the Christmas song, Christmas is the season, time to be jolly and all that. And that's the world's estimation of what Christmas is. We're going to look at it differently. But the things that I liked about Christmas was, in the big mantelpiece that I'm telling about, we used to hang up our Christmas stockings. And that would be our stockings that we wore. We'd be put in the washing machine, and one of them would go up in the mantelpiece. And it was a coal fire, remember? Coal fires are really nice. Anyway, and the big coal fire, and we'd put our stocking up. Something like this. Now, I don't think it would have Tommy Hilfiger on it. I don't think he was around at that point in time. But there it was. And we would get certain things, because Christmas was the only time of the year that we got any gifts. Because remember, we were right in the middle of the war when I was born, 1941, end of the war, 45. And Britain, the UK, was on rations until, I just learned this even more recently, I knew it was later, 1954, before the rations stopped in Britain. That's 9 years after the war. And so it was very hard to get food and things like that. It was just the rations. You just got so much for the week. And that was it. I'll mention that a little bit with that. But one thing that we used to get, you see, a notebook for school. So remember that. A ruler for the school. What else did we get? A pencil. An eraser. And it was exciting to get these things, by the way. Not now it would be, would it? And there was always a little toy. Aha, shell. This was Crawford's. He inherited this, I think, later on. Shell was very... Yeah. Shell is big in the UK. It's probably over here you have Shell. Or gas. Now, what else did I have? An orange. And an apple. And by the way, you didn't get that the rest of the year. This was exciting to get an apple and an orange. We're in a whole different world today, aren't we? And when we think about all these things. And best, if not, a Mars bar. Now, you might think that's pretty funny to bring a Mars bar, but you know something? I think they were a little bigger than that then. They've shrunk a little over the years. So my favorite chocolate bar, because my father would get on a Friday one Mars bar to do the family for the week. And he would divide it into four pieces, for one for himself, my mother, myself, and my little sister. All got a piece of Mars bar. And that was the only candy you got at that point in time, even as growing up as a boy. Now, in 1954 or 1953, they decided the rations were finished. So the candies, of course, became available. They had to put them back on ration because they couldn't cope with the lineups for candy, believe it or not. And Scotland, to this day, is still the highest candy-eating nation in the world. Wow. You think about that. Wow. So that's just a little bit of a Christmas background. Now, where did I put my... Oh. So that was really the memory of Christmas, you know, as from a child's point of view, they grew up. But of course, my dad always told us the Christmas story, even over the season. Now, this song, and let me just, before I get into the message part, a year ago, I was asked to speak at the seniors' home, where we are. I wasn't asked to speak. We decided to do a program from the assembly to go over and do a Christmas program with them. And so we got our young people's group, there must have been about 8 or 9 of them, they came and they did some singing, and we had a really good night. And then I just spoke on the word Christmas from an acrostic point of view. This was a song that was put out in the 50s, probably the early 60s. Who remembers Jim Reeves? Some of you remember Jim Reeves. He was a very popular American country western singer, I believe. But he put this song out and became a big hit for many years, and certainly in the UK. But now you never hear it anymore. Or hardly. I don't think I've heard it for the last good number of years about Christmas. And this is how it really goes. Oh, sorry, let me go back. And I've done it. I'm not used to these things. Where am I now? You can see I'm not into this. Although they're great things. The top button, sorry, Brett Crawford. There we go. C. C is for the Christ child, born upon this day. What an amazing statement that is. We're hearing, why was he born? What would have happened if he'd never been born? The Lord Jesus Christ is unique in so many different ways from any other person who has ever lived in history. For instance, he's the only person that was born that lived before he was born. And he could say, before Abraham was, I am. He is the eternal I am, who came into time and was born at Bethlehem. He's the only person that ever lived that existed before he was born. He's the only person that was born that never had any sin in him, sin nature in him. Think about that for a moment. Even Mary pondered these things in her heart. He was absolutely unique. Can you just imagine parents having this child in your home? He would never say no. He would never disobey. He was absolutely perfect. He was holy internally as he was externally. And when you think about that for a moment, it separates him from all the rest of humanity. You see, there are only 4 ways, really, in which people come into the world. Adam, first of all, was created by God. And then there's taken out of Adam a rib, God forms out of the rib a woman. So there's creation and there's formation. But then along comes Cain, the first that was to be born, and that comes into generation. And from Adam until this present day, every one of us has come through one generation from another, and we're still continuing that process as it continues. The Lord Jesus did not come in by generation. He didn't come in by creation. He wasn't created. He didn't come in by formation. He wasn't formated, even though a body was prepared. It's a distinctly different aspect, but he didn't come in by generation. He came in by incarnation. And incarnation means that he had no earthly father while he had, he had no earthly father, but he had an earthly mother. But he had no mother as God, although he had a heavenly father. But the father and son relationship was eternal. One didn't exist before the other. Now, we can't take that in because our minds are humanly governed by time. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, this Christ child, This Christ child was, there we are. This Christ child was unique in so many different ways. He's the only one that was born that was promised that he would come. Right in the very beginning of time, in the Garden of Eden, God promised that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and it should bruise his heel. And so right at the dawn of history, and we could go right through the Old Testament scriptures, and we have one promise after another, not only who he was that was coming, but where he would be born, in that he would be born in Bethlehem. C is for the Christ child. H is for herald angels in the night. Can you just think of that amazing moment for those shepherds as they were doing their ordinary job? They were just shepherds looking after sheep in a field that they had done day after day after day. And suddenly, it says, out of the blue, from nowhere, heaven opens and an angel appears. And appears with this tremendous news that we've been reading about. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. What a message. What a message. You know, the world is so full of bad news today, it's hardly worth looking at it sometimes or listening to it. The condition of our world, and yet this is still the best news that you'll ever hear. Unto you, that's you and me. For them in that day, for you and I in this day, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Think about it. A Savior. Who is Christ the Lord? C is for the Christ child born upon this day. H is for herald the angels in the night. R is my Redeemer. Redeemer. You know what it means for a Redeemer? A Redeemer is someone who buys something to possess it for himself, to redeem it from somewhere and bring it back to himself. And that's really what he did. He came to be our Redeemer, and he paid the price, as we've been hearing, in his precious blood on Calvary's cross. He died not only for our sins, but he died to pay the price of sin, and he paid it all in full. Sometimes we sing, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He's washed it white as snow. He's the only one that could do that. Paid it in full with nothing to pay. It's good for the Scots people. Nothing to pay. Nothing to pay. It was absolutely free for the taking. And it's free for the taking this morning. It's presented, he's presented himself as a gift. We know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What a gift. What a gift that is. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But then Paul says, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. I remember the night I was saved. That was what really touched my heart more than anything else and got to me, that he actually loved me and died for me. And I'm glad he died for you. Have you accepted him yet? Have you made him your personal Savior? Well, that's important. But he came to redeem us through his precious blood. I means Israel. That word is so exciting sometimes every time I mention Israel. Where did it come from? God says to Jacob, you're no longer Jacob, but Israel, a prince with God. That's still the name. That's the most hated name in the world even today. Israel. You see, God made promises to Israel. And we must remember, and I say this to the believers this morning, we should always have a deep respect for the Jew, even in their rejection of the Lord Jesus. Because Paul reminds us in Romans that if they had accepted him, there would be no hope for us as Gentiles. And God, in his wondrous grace, through their rejection, says Paul, the gospel opened up to the world, that out of the world he's taking his church now in this dispensation of his grace, out from Jew and Gentile. He's bringing them together, says Paul in Ephesians, in one glorious body. Think about that. The church in one body is comprised of Jew and Gentile, something that no political party of the world has ever been able to achieve, bringing Jew and Gentile together. And the world is still divided by Jew and Gentile, even in our present day. Israel's a name that's often in the news, by the way. And Israel, God has great plans and a great future for Israel. One day their king will reign in Jerusalem, even though they rejected him. And when they accept him, then it will be a whole different world then. Now let's remember that the church is not part of Israel, never was and never will be. It's a total entity in itself. But there are many blessings that come to us through the Jew. Even Paul says in Romans 1, the gospel was first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. And as Gentiles, we had no hope. But we thank God for Israel, for that's the place where he came to, where he was born. The Christ child. Itch means herald angels. R means my redeemer. I means Israel. S is for the star that shone so bright. Remember the wise men? We'll come into that now quickly. T is for three wise men who traveled from afar. How did they travel? They traveled by following a star. And the star followed them all the way in. Now, there's two different feelings about this, and so I'm giving you mine. Some believe that they lost sight of the star, and so they went to Herod, because that's where the palace was. If you're going to find a king, you're going to find him in a palace, aren't you? So they went to Herod. I don't think they lost sight of the star. I believe the star took them to the palace, for there's a wrong king on the throne, and guided them right to Herod. And when Herod hears the message, where is he that is born to be king of the Jews? What did Herod do? Get all the manuscripts out. He was pretty wise, King Herod, in one way. But the sad thing about King Herod was when he found the truth, he rejected it. Let's kill him. He wanted to kill him, get him out of the way. He's dealing with the wrong person, isn't he? How could they ever possibly get him out of the way? He had come for a purpose, and Herod and all that could never stop that purpose. M is for the manger where he lay. It is a staggering thought. Crubber's already been mentioning it. That he'd leave that throne above for angelic beings. If we could just lift the curtain this morning and look into the angelic world alone, angels and seraphims, cherubims, and myriads of angels all surround his eternal throne. He created them for his purpose and for his glory. And yet he left them all. He came lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He came right down, not to a palace, not even in an inn. There was no room for him there, outside the inn. And he was born in a manger, cradled in a manger, as we sometimes say, in a stable. Now, some people, we've all got our feelings about different things, but why a stable? That's where the animals are. And sometimes I wonder when he arrived here, as I said this morning, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Here I am. And that babe in that manger is going to do what none of these animals being sacrificed could ever do. He was going to the cross to die, to take away our sin. And we're glad about that. He is all he stands for. All he stands for, everything he stands for, and that's why there is. And S means shepherds came, like that, again with the heavenly choir, and that's why there's a Christmas day. Now, there's often differences about opinion. When was he born? Was it at Christmas time? I doubt that very much. History would tell us a little different. But one thing is absolutely certain, that there was a day in which he was born. And we celebrate that. Yeah. And even as believers, it's a time for family get-togethers. I love that part of Christmas when we all get together and we remember one who came. Isn't it amazing, even now, right now, to just stop and think, he came for you and he came for me. And that's why there is a Christmas day. A day to rejoice, a day to celebrate, a day to give thanks, a day to remember, a day when gifts are exchanged. You know what it says in second, I was thinking about this other week there. God loves a cheerful giver. The word for cheerful there in Corinthians is a hilarious giver, to give freely. See, when we give, there's nothing back in return except thanks, or we can reject the gift. And when God sent his son to be the gift for you and for me, you have a choice to either accept it or not. That's your choice. But it's a gift. You can't pay for it. It's already paid. You can't work for it. You can't do anything for it. Salvation is a gift. A gift to freely be received and freely to be enjoyed. And every day, I must say, since I came to know the Savior back when I was a young teenager, I thank God every day that he came for me. And as the shepherd, and I must stop, and as the shepherds did, they went into Bethlehem, but they didn't only go and see the child. They told everybody about him. And they wondered, they marveled at the things that the shepherds were saying about what had happened. Are we telling others about him? That's our responsibility if we know him, that others might know him too and come to know the wonder of the salvation that he has provided in his son, the Lord Jesus. Can I sing something?